This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who was formerly the senior editor of the New American Magazine. Now, of course, does writing. He's written a wonderful new book. Incidentally, we got a couple of cases in called The Eclipse of Liberty, which we'll be talking about a little bit later. But William certainly is one of the most eloquent commentators we have, and a real privilege to have here on Radio Liberty. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Dr. Stan, thank you so much for having me again. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, what are we going to talk about this afternoon? What are the issues that are really so important to be brought out today?
You and I have talked a lot about what's going on with the economy and with this unfolding economic catastrophe that's enveloping our country and most of the world. We are really living through a bellwether period in not only American history, but human history. When you take a look at what's happened just in the last 4 or 5 years, both politically and economically, culturally as well. We've talked before about what happened in September and October of 2006 with the passage of the Military Commissions Act and the Warner Defense Reorganization Act that essentially did away with two of the very important civil liberties protections and constitutional safeguards that we've enjoyed, the one being habeas corpus, the Great Writ, that principle of Anglo-Saxon law going back to the Magna Carta that dictates that the government cannot summarily imprison us without cause, that an individual has to have judicial recourse, that you have to bring a suspect before an independent judge within a very limited period of time and justify the detention of that individual. That went away, essentially, in 2006. And on the same day, you had the Warner Defense Reorganization Act, which did away with posse comitatus. And that's a principle that was written into law following Reconstruction in 1878 that separates the military and the police function, so we don't have the military as a standing army. And those two developments, I contend, and this is something I talk about in my book, Liberty and Eclipse, basically altered the legal architecture of our system in such a way that the president can now use the National Guard of the 50 separate states as his own Praetorian Guard, his own private army, at his discretion. And at his discretion, he can imprison anybody for any period of time that he deems suitable if he would go so far as to designate that individual an unlawful enemy combatant. That doesn't merely refer to foreign-born individuals, non-U.S. citizens, people who may or may not be legitimate terrorists. It's anybody who happens to find the disfavor of the executive, the chief executive. Those are the very important legal and constitutional changes. But in the last 4 or 5 days, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, actually, we've seen a similarly epical change, at least a proposed change, in our financial system, where we have the Federal Reserve essentially being put in control, or seeking to be put in control, of the entire investment banking system. Being put in charge of Wall Street, nationalizing the investment sector in the name of saving. And it's the same old story. You have this mammoth, unaccountable, thoroughly corrupt government organ, or quasi-private, quasi-government organ, the Federal Reserve, that screwed up royally. And they made a complete hash out of the economy through this engineered property, housing, and mortgage debt bubble. They blew up this bubble to proportions we're still not certain how large they would be. That as a result, when the bubble popped and suddenly people were left holding these literally trillions of dollars in bad paper for bad debts, the Federal Reserve, rather than saying, well, it's our fault, said, well, the fault is we weren't given enough power. So we screwed up, give us more power. That's a very familiar routine in government circles, and we're seeing it work out today.
And I'm really very, very concerned that this new legislation, now we don't know really what it's going to entail entirely, but to give the Federal Reserve, made up primarily of private banking interests who, created the Federal Reserve system to benefit themselves and now to give them more power over our economy, this could really be the eclipse of liberty. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi, neighbor. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Certainly, we'd never intend to procrastinate getting our own food supply until there was none left at any price. We would intend to have plenty of food so the relief organizations could care for those unable to care for themselves. We would intend not to be standing in the bread line with the ignorant and the foolish who pretend the facts of food disappearance are untrue. If the experience of the Katrina disaster is evidence, the bread line may have no bread. Just like the good intentions on the road to that unheavenly place, the good intentions alone to get a supply of food will not feed us. Only getting our food supply immediately will make us independent and fearless for the future. Call 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Who am I? Nobody. Steve Shank, someone who cares.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is William Krieg, and certainly we've been talking about what's going on to the economy, the fact that faced with a problem, now what they want to do is give more power to the federal government, which is insanity. Mm-hmm. And yet, of course, that's exactly what they're suggesting today. So you pick up the story.
It is insane. When you take a look at the role of the Federal Reserve in creating the catastrophe from which it's now politically profiting, and that's a mechanism unique to politics, unique to the state, and to state-favored organizations that we see time and time again. Government and government-sponsored entities are the only human enterprises that profit through failure. If you take a look at every government in history, the way that they've acquired power is by engineering or permitting the emergence of crises that have been used as the pretext for power grabs. And you're also correct, Dr. Stan, in pointing out, and this is something we can't emphasize too frequently, that the Federal Reserve is a cartel, which is to say it is not, strictly speaking, a government entity. It's a government-supported entity, the largest and most consequential one of that species in the entire world, perhaps in human history. But it is a cartel of private banks that arrogated to themselves the privilege of controlling our money supply. Congress alienated the power of coining money to this unelected and unaccountable body back in 1913. and they put themselves in the position of ultimate moral hazard, where they profit tremendously off of the debauching of our currency on behalf of the entity that it serves and that with whom it works as an ally, which is the federal government. And so now you have a situation where, having engineered this debt catastrophe, the Fed says that because everybody has acted irresponsibly after the Fed itself created this debt catastrophe, now they're in a position where they can control pretty much the entire economy. What little of it remained that was outside of their purview, this is being done once again in the name of saving us from ourselves. And this is an old story. Gary North, somebody with whom you're familiar, who's a very astute tracker of the Federal Reserve, I don't agree with all of his conclusions or analyses, but I think he had the history perfectly correct in an essay he just wrote a couple of days ago when he said that the goal of the Fed, as with all central banks, is threefold. First, to protect the largest commercial banks from their depositors, who occasionally exercise their contractual right to withdraw currency, the ungrateful cads. Two, to control entry of newcomers into the bankers' cartel, the interlopers. Three, to keep the stock market from collapsing in a panic, thereby persuading depositors to withdraw currency. The Fed has always been the representative agency of the largest commercial banks. Ever since 1787, it has been the goal of the large banks to gain control over the entire financial sector. And Gary North continues, the insiders have always used stock market declines to scare Congress into surrendering power to the Fed. The Fed is presented as a seemingly neutral third party, beyond politics and beyond the money-grubbing ways of Wall Street. The Treasury Secretary is once again reinforcing the Fed's insistence that it needs more power. And they're in a position now where they can take over and run the entire financial sector. And the reason they're doing this, to put it in blunt and unadorned terms, is so they can continue this insidious and contemptible process of enriching the ultra-rich at the expense of the rest of us. This is done directly through the debauching of the currency. Every time the Fed guarantees $1 billion, $10 billion, $30 billion, $100 billion dollars or more in loans to these banks, what it's doing is it's stealing the value of what we have earned and saved and invested. That's, of course, socialism for the rich. It's direct transfer of our wealth into the hands of the ultra rich, and that's the process that's going to continue. And the power to do this is the purpose why the Federal Reserve was created in the first place. It was sold to the public as a way of protecting us against panics of the sort that would happen intermittently in our history. And it's actually engineered panics through the inflationary policies that create the boom and bust cycle. And so we're really in a fascinating position here where, without a vote by Congress yet, without any action by Congress beyond insipid and pointless cheerleading, basically this unelected body, this quasi-government, quasi-private entity, and that, by the way, is a perfect description of a fascist political organ, something that is a public-private partnership, has seized control of this power with the connivance of the executive branch. And we're going to be living with the economic consequences of this probably for the rest of our natural lives, and our descendants are going to be living under the consequences as well. It's difficult to see how much longer they can sustain the game that they're playing. I honestly believe that sometime this year, probably around September, if not sooner, we're going to see a dramatic market collapse, a stock market collapse, and the influence of that event is going to be felt in the real economy, and it's already being felt in the real economy in ways that people are just now starting to understand. But I think the consequences of this decades-long charade are finally unavoidable. In a real sense, and this is something you said on many occasions, Dr. Stan, our country really went bankrupt way back in August 15th of 1971 when Nixon sundered the last remaining connections between the dollar and gold, thereby admitting that we could not redeem our currency for real money. And since that time, we basically lived at the mercy of foreign creditors. That's basically a generation. We've had a generation of grace period, if you will, on the part of our creditors. And I think that the period of grace is over. The summer is over, the harvest has ended, and we're probably not going to be saved. We're not going to be spared the consequences of our rulers' stupidity and our own blind indifference to reality.
Well, I agree with you. The only good thing I can say about this is the fact that it's going to take some catastrophic event to wake the American people up to the fact that You know, we've been living in a fool's paradise. We've been living in a fiat money system that is prosperous, you know, and many people have made fabulous fortunes.
Yeah.
But eventually the whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down. And when it does, maybe people will begin to understand what's really important, these ideas of freedom and liberty and personal responsibility and belief in God that were once the cornerstones of this great nation.
Well, I hope that we don't see the type of wholesale implosion that happens very quickly that we've seen in many other societies, 1923 Germany being probably the best example of a hyperinflationary black hole. The whole country fell into the maw of this black hole, and out of the other end of that aperture emerged not National Socialist Germany. As much as painful as it would be, I hope that the process is more protracted, that people have enough time to summon up some kind of intelligent response to what's going on. I hope we have a period of years, if not that, at least months, where people can make some kind of an adjustment to what's going on here. One of the reasons I say that this might be the way that things operate is that in order to bail out and save the politically protected few, it's going to require some time. And if we have the ability to reach out to people, hopefully on a broad scale, Ron Paul was trying to do this in his presidential campaign, and he was laughed to scorn when he'd bring up the issue of sound money in the Federal Reserve, and people were starting to understand that there was a reason why he was focusing on those issues so intensely, almost to the point of obsessiveness. But if we can reach out to people on a large enough scale and explain to them why this is happening and what they need to do in terms of insulating themselves and their families from the consequences of what's happening, I think that can be healthy, and the people will react to this catastrophe by letting it impeach the idea that government should be our caretaker rather than being driven into the arms of government as their supposed custodian and protector. It's that latter approach that has led us to this debacle. What I'm hoping is that people have enough time to address this intelligently, and that even though we're probably not going to get a majority of this population to understand that, we hopefully will be able to find a remnant that's a fairly sizable plurality, and from that we'd have a fighting chance to do something about restoring liberty.
Well, it's going to be very interesting. We're either going to go into a total despotism at the end of this, or perhaps move to restore liberty. All we can do is keep doing our best, getting the information out, and hope and pray that the latter will be the course rather than dictatorship. Remember, they did the same thing with the fiat money system in 1789 in France, and what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Chaos, and then they got themselves a dictator. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah.
And, of course, in Weimar Republic, they got Adolf Hitler. Right now, of course, they've got their dictator in Zimbabwe, where they have 100,000% a year inflation rate. Today, a soft drink will cost you $3 million Rhodesian dollars or Zimbabwean dollars. I can remember when the Rhodesian dollar was worth $2, and yet today, $500 million Zimbabwean dollars is worth 14 American dollars.
Yeah, that's the land of the $25 million hamburger.
Right.
It's the land where millionaires and billionaires are poor and starving. I mean, if you go to a McDonald's in Zimbabwe, rather than saying millions served, it says it costs millions to be served.
Right.
And that's a result of the hyperinflation that has been imposed on that country by that demented, perverted Marxist dimwit that's running their country.
But never forget for one moment that he was brought to power.
Exactly.
The insistence of the American State Department, Henry Kissinger, who promised the Rhodesian people that if things ever got out of hand, America would come to their aid. And I just hope and pray that this is not a trial balloon of what lies ahead for America.
Well, in terms of the amount of distance that the dollar would have to fall, that could be a foreshadowing of what we could see. You mentioned the French Revolution and hyperinflation. It's interesting to me that Napoleon, who was a mass murderer and a despot and a megalomaniac, he did restore France to something akin to a hard money economy. They had to go through the terror to get there. They had to go through the attack on the Vendée, which was a region of France containing traditional Catholics who homeschooled their kids and didn't want to give their older sons over to fight wars against other Christian kingdoms in Europe. 250,000 people in the Vendée were killed, many of them killed through germ warfare, mass drownings that the insane murdering Jacobins called Republican baptisms. But it's interesting to me that the currency in revolutionary France, I believe it was pronounced the assignat, was basically a collateralized debt instrument based on the collateral of seized properties, of foreclosed church properties. When the revolutionary government got going in 1789 and 1791-92, when they passed these anti-clerical measures, they confiscated church properties and used those as the basis for these debt instruments. It's really sort of similar to what we're seeing right now.
Amen to that. We'll be back in just a moment with William Gregg, but it's like deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
They just started printing fiat money in France, just like they printed fiat money in, certainly in Germany, as they're printing fiat money in Zimbabwe today, as they're doing in the United States. We'll be right back.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through a private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel, and why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural force that's directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is William Gregg, and we're talking about the history of financial, really financial systems that have always failed. There's no incidents in all history where a fiat money system has existed for any period of time. Even Aristotle, you know, commenting on what had happened in ancient Greece, said there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom and king. And unfortunately, it's never existed. It's not existing now. And we are heading, certainly, into a terrible financial storm. You pick up the story there, William.
We're already involved in that terrible financial storm. It's already taking casualties. Many people simply can't draw the connections here. They can't understand that there is a direct connection between the amount of money that our government has spent in excess of what it takes in taxes, in such undertakings as the Iraq War, the cost of which are going to be in the trillions of dollars, they're probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 trillion already, between those expenditures and the concomitant inflation of the money supply on the one hand, and the price spikes in the necessities of life, such as food and fuel, food and energy on the other. And anytime you go to a grocery store, anytime you buy gasoline at a service station, anytime you're buying anything that has to be shipped across the country by ground transportation, you're going to see an increase in the price. And just today we saw this spectacle. It's a routine spectacle. Every spring you see this game, the charade played out, of oil executives being summoned before Congress to give an account for why the price of petroleum, gasoline in particular, is so high. And they're always bit to the grill by congressmen who profess to be outraged over the fact that they're pulling in such supposedly obscene profits. Well, one of them today, I believe, was the head of Shell Oil, actually had the temerity to point out that one of the reasons why we have artificial scarcity of oil in this country is because of the policies of the federal government that make it cost prohibitive or impossible from a regulatory point of view to develop our energy resources here nationally and to refine petroleum into usable gasoline. That's something that's manufactured in Washington. That's not something which is imposed on us by the OPEC cartel. It's certainly not something that's a reflection of the cupidity of oil companies. But the other element of this, of course, is the fact that the dollar is worth increasingly less every single day. And that's a variable that is controlled by Congress and the Federal Reserve. And they're always, of course, very interested in sharing the blame. They're very generous in apportioning the blame to others for that element of what's going on. Just last week, Dr. Stan, in the interest of providing some element of security for my family in terms of our food situation, I went out and bought several hundred pounds of grain and beans. And it took me over a week and a half in order to get the quantity I was looking for. It simply wasn't available. That's because of a number of factors. There have been bad grain harvests for a number of years. I mean, global grain supplies, as I understand it, are, I think, about the lowest that they've been in over 50 years. And that there are variables we can't control. We can't control the weather. I mean, that's in the realm of providence. And there are other things that have happened in terms of agricultural yields that have been very unfortunate. But the other variable here has to do, once again, with the fact that the value of the dollar is going down. We've been exporting inflation relentlessly now for decades. And the other countries that are part of the dollar system, their central banks inflate. That drives up the price of commodities. And you end up with all kinds of dislocations in the marketplace. And I think that it's worth pointing out, this is something that is very uncomfortable to talk about, but it's worth pointing out that we really don't have any right to believe that we're going to be spared some of the turmoil that's already descended on a number of countries here with respect to such basic considerations of life as food security. You take a look at what's happened in, I believe, Guinea, Mauritania, Mexico, Morocco, Senegal, Uzbekistan, Yemen, Philippines. There have been food riots in all of these countries. Over in Pakistan, you have the spectacle of wheat and flour trucks being guarded by armed soldiers. And in the Philippines, the government is starting to crack down on people who are accused of hoarding rice and other grains. The price of rice has just gone through the ceiling. And a lot of this, once again, reflects this decades-long process of exporting inflation to these other countries. And we really shouldn't be so serenely confident that we're going to be spared these problems. If you take a look at the price of bread, at the price of anything that is made with wheat and flour, it has skyrocketed in the last month and a half or 2 months to the point where people are openly talking about it now in grocery stores. And, of course, when your budget is already being pressed by a resetting adjustable rate mortgage, and you suddenly find that staple foods have gone through the ceiling in terms of their price, you're put in a pretty bad situation. That's something that's going to become a very tangible reality for too many American households this year.
Well, I'm glad you're going out and stocking up to, in preparation for the difficult times for your family, and I think everybody should be doing that. Really, the price of the wheat is up, you know, $16, $17 a bushel in parts of India. They have guards in the where they have growing rice because people are going into the fields to steal rice. There's shortages.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is George Winkhurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour, and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is William Greig. And before we go on, I want William to tell our listeners how they can get to his blog spot and, of course, a little bit about the book. We do have the book now, which we're making available through my ministry, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But having read William for many, many years, I know it's going to be great because he is certainly one of the most incisive and stimulating writers you've ever read. Go ahead, William.
I really appreciate that, and I'm gratified beyond words to know that you've finally gotten the quantity of those books. It's been a long and frustrating interval here. The book is called Liberty in Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. And it is intended to scare people and infuriate people, not by projecting what could happen, but by describing in an unadorned and clear-sighted way what is going on in real time right now, which is the creation of a fully functional garrison state, one in which we have a centralized and militarized law enforcement apparatus where there is no distinction being made between the military function and the police function, one in which previously free sovereign citizens invested with individual rights as a result of being created in God's image, are looked upon as potential suspects and treated as the largest pool of threats to social stability and to the powers and perquisites of the governing elite. That's the system we're living under right now. We're in the early phase of that transition, but we are already living under that system. It's a done deal in the sense that we no longer have the republic we were blessed to have that was created by our forebears in 1787, 1791. I don't mean by that to say that this is a permanent condition, which is why the title is Liberty in Eclipse. An eclipse is something that is frightening to many who don't understand it, but it's something that is transitory. It's not a permanent blotting out of the light of the sun. Unfortunately, an eclipse is something that is autonomous. It's a matter of celestial mechanics. We don't control that. That's unfortunate because we have no guarantee that the eclipse of liberty that has already started and that is growing deeper and darker every passing day, we don't have any guarantee that that will be reversible, and we're going to have to be the ones who reverse it if it's going to happen. There are certain things that are out of our hands right now. We really don't have any influence to stop the unfolding economic crisis that we're talking about. We had the means, and we didn't avail ourselves of the means, and so we're going to live with some of the consequences. But we do have the means residing in our intelligence and our associations and our sheer numbers to do something about bringing about the restoration of liberty once the crisis starts to unfold. Liberty and Eclipse, as you pointed out, is just one of the things that I've been involved in. The other is working with the Welch Foundation and helping to maintain their news site, which is called The Right Source. The web address for that is www.rightsourceonline.com. One word, rightsourceonline.com. And if you go to that website and then scroll down the front page, about a third of the way down the page, look at the left-hand side of the screen, you'll see my photograph, and next to my photograph there is a hot link to my daily blog, which is called Pro Libertate. That is a Latin phrase. It means for freedom. I try to update that between 3 and 5 times a week, and that, of course, is contingent on my own schedule. I work out of my home here. I'm the father of 5 wonderful children and husband to a beautiful wife. My wife, Corinne, is a wonderful person. She is the son around whom I revolve. She has some health problems that mean that I have to care for her and then care for our 5 kids. And on account of that, I do have some contending demands on my time that sometimes take me away from my blog, but it should be updated between 3 and 5 times a week. It is obsessively focused on the issue of human liberty under God's law. That is the plumb line I use to assess any political development, any claim that is made by those people who presume to govern us or who are offering themselves as a gift to us as our representatives. What are you going to do about protecting individual human liberty under God's law? And the blog deals with topics both foreign and domestic, both national and local. I am trying to do more journalism of first instance in the blog, meaning going out and actually tracking down stories rather than merely commenting on things that are being reported by others. And once again, due to the limitations I described a little bit earlier, that's something I can't do anywhere near as often as I would like to, but I am trying to do more of it. And I'm hoping that through the influence of what we're doing, Dr. Stan, and what some like-minded people are doing, that we're starting to the gathering of that fabled remnant here, people who are going to use their influence to try to hold fast while some really strong waves start to hit our country, and people at least know where they can go in order to find out what's really happened, why it happened, and how we can do something productive about it. That's my hope and my prayer.
Amen to that. Well, let's hope that people will begin to wake up and realize what's going on and understand how vitally important liberty is, because without liberty, life seems to take on very little meaning.
Yes.
And certainly, look at the people. I've lived in other countries where people weren't free, and there's just a whole different attitude. People throughout the world want liberty, and we've had it here, and yet we're relinquishing it without a battle at all.
I know. That's sort of incredible frustration for me. I've lived abroad. I've lived in Latin America. I've visited several continents. I have had the dubious privilege of visiting Africa and the Middle East. Wonderful people over there who are living under awful governments. That's the story most everywhere we go. One of the few people I know has actually been arrested by the United Nations, and my opinion of that organization is well documented, and I think three of the first four books that I wrote. And I am astonished by the fact that people who were brought up in this wonderful, blessed country where we have been gifted by our Creator with so many incomparable blessings, take this for granted criminally. I think it is a crime against God and man that people who were brought up in this country have become so inured to the idea of government acting as their steward and have become so indifferent to the preservation of their freedom. And I do hope that when we are deprived of the illusion of prosperity that has been our chief public intoxicant now for the last several decades, that at least some people will look around, blink their eyes, and come to the realization that freedom means responsibility as well. And responsibility, of course, entails doing something about caring for yourself and your loved ones and trying to limit or hopefully to abolish the influence of those who would presume to rule over you and over others.
Well, I'll never forget, of course, what Barry Goldwater wrote in his book With No Apologies, where he talked about how the internationalists really believed that you could get people to, you know, do almost anything for material advantage.
Yeah.
If you provided them with tremendous amounts of, you know, materialism and prosperity, they would then forego these concepts of liberty. And to an extent, he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm really so optimistic at the present time that the coming economic collapse may very well get people to take a second look at what's going on and understand that freedom is far more important than prosperity. In fact, the prosperity we have is based upon our liberty and freedom, and if we take away our liberty and freedom, then soon prosperity will be gone as well.
Well, you know, the real offense here, when you see somebody taking away the liberty of another person, has to do with the fact that you're literally stealing a portion of that person's life. I think of the people who lived under the overt tyranny of communism when it was described, frankly, as communism between 1917 and 1991. How many generations of people, you know, that's basically two and a half or almost three generations of people, who lived under the heel of unfiltered totalitarian terror. And their lives, many of them, were completely consumed by that that parenthesis in history. That's not to say that what's going on in post-Soviet Russia and in China and a couple, and many other countries you can think of is materially better in significant ways than what happened under communism. It's just that when there was a doctrinal rationale for it, rooted in the writings of Lenin and the others, it took on a more obvious nature than what you're seeing today, where in Russia, for instance, the same people who are the Communist Party nomenclature, the ruling elite, are still running that country. And in China, you have a variant of Marxism, you know, Marxism with Chinese characteristics, as it's described, where people are allowed to go out and become materially prosperous, at least according to their prevailing standards. They're given the illusion of material prosperity in exchange for their freedom. And so, basically, if you want to see what Barry Goldwater was talking about, take a look at what's going on right now in China, where you're perfectly free, in quote marks, to go out and own certain material amenities and enjoy certain contemporary luxuries. But you have to be subservient in all the ways that should matter to a genuinely free human being. And that's the system that we're seeing taking root here as well, you know, where you're perfectly free to buy all this cheap consumer, all these cheap consumer goods. They're not anywhere near as inexpensive as they once were, now that the exchange rate has become inverted. You're perfectly, quote-unquote, free to vote for the American Idol of the week or otherwise to do things that are completely pointless and rooted in a materialistic assessment of the world. But when you start questioning the wisdom of turning over control of your life and the life of your children to these unelected people who run the Federal Reserve, or you start talking about the improvident policies of the government that are threatening to impoverish all of your descendants, or when you start criticizing the basic tenets of the collectivist system that has prevailed in our country now for the last century or so, then you find out that there are limitations to what you can say, even in informal settings, and you find that you're not nearly as free as you might consider yourself to be. That's the most important element of freedom, is where the soul is free to strive to express itself, to seek to improve the circumstances for not only the individual, but for his family and for those who come after him. Those are the goods of first intent. You referred to Aristotle earlier. Aristotle talked about goods of first and second intent. A good of second intent is a means to an end. The end is the good of first intent. And the highest freedom we have, of course, is the freedom to be what God wants us to be, to live under God's law and to express fully those talents that he has given to each of us. And that's the type of freedom that is so savagely repressed under every collectivist system, our own genuinely and more obviously collectivist system not accepted. And that's what we're losing, and that's what we have to preserve. That's what our founding fathers wrote about and strove for and bled for.
And I think it's really so tragic today that most Americans know very well that the goods we buy from communist China are manufactured with slave labor, because when you don't have freedom, you're a slave.
Yeah.
And yet, of course, people buy them because they're cheap, but they've forgotten that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And when we fail to actively oppose what's going on in communist China and to hold our elected officials responsible for what's happening, and of course one only has to go back and study the history of China after the Second World War to know that it was the American State Department that brought communism to China by actually putting an arms embargo on Chiang Kai-shek and withholding the weapons that Congress appropriated. They appropriated $125 million worth of weapons to be used by the National Chinese against the Chinese communists. And if you transport that into current money, that would probably be the equivalent of probably, you know, $10 or $12 billion worth of military equipment. And the State Department kept the ships loaded with that equipment in the harbor in San Francisco and Los Angeles for a year and a half over the objections of our Congress to be sure that the communists would take over China. And when the ships finally arrived at the Chinese ports and they opened the cases of rifles, they didn't have any bolts in them to be absolutely certain that they would fail. And
amazing.
This is the same pattern we use over and over again. We find out now that we've been equipping the Afghan army with ammunition that's 40, 50 years old. Why would the United States government that has massive armaments of its own supply our so-called allies in Afghanistan, the Afghan military, with weapons that don't work and ammunition that's 40 or 50 years old? Unless, of course, it's all for show. It's all to make the American people think that we're really trying to win the war over there and get our valiant Afghan allies working with us. Understand, we brought communism to China, and since then we've seen instance after instance, whether it be certainly in Cuba or in Nicaragua or certainly in Iran or in Iraq or in Rhodesia or in South Africa, where our State Department has brought tyrannical governments to power, and the average American has no idea what's really going on, or that the suffering of the Chinese people today is a direct byproduct of the activities of the Council on Foreign Relations members who have dominated the American State Department since the end of the Second World War.
Many people would find it difficult to believe, but it's documentably true, as you point out, that probably the single biggest force to promote communism and to expand the compass of human misery under communism in world history has been the government of the United States. It's been the largest source of material aid and financial aid. It continues to be the largest source of material aid and financial support, not only for communism, but also several other varieties of armed collectivism. You mentioned what's going on with respect to Afghanistan. You take a look at what's going on in Iraq, where just over the last 4 or 5 months during this much heralded surge, we've seen the same radical Islamic elements that had been shooting at our troops now being elevated to the position of the security force that supposedly has the back of our troops in Iraq. And now, after the surge has started to fail and Maliki has decided that he's going to carry out his sectarian agenda, well, those same troops, when a call for a ceasefire went into effect, those same troops basically ceased to support the objectives of the U.S. military effort in Iraq and took up their own sectarian agenda, just as one would expect it would. I mean, this comes as a surprise to nobody who was in a position to orchestrate that policy. It certainly didn't surprise General Petraeus, who's the one who managed conveniently to lose almost 200,000 small arms back when he was in charge of training those security forces in 2004 and 2005. That's another really, really good example of this Soviet-style career path where people fail upwards. You know, they commit a huge dereliction of duty or some other spectacular failure, and they're rewarded with the more lucrative, more important post. I mean, Petraeus consummately failed to train the security force in Iraq. He lost these weapons, and now he's in charge of the overall operation. You see, Paul Wolfowitz, who is one of the chief architects of the war, who failed as a deputy defense secretary, who was put in charge of the World Bank. And the best example that we talked about in the beginning of the hour, of course, was the Federal Reserve having engineered this huge collapsing credit bubble, now being given charge over the entire financial system as the reward for imposing this failure on our society. These are not accidental or incidental developments. It doesn't take the intellect of a savant to understand that you shouldn't be rewarding failure this way. But that's the way the collectivism operates. I mean, that's what really goes on behind this facade of free market, Republican, small-r Republican liberty that we are flattered to think describes our system here in the United States.
Well, I really am very, very concerned that we're going to see the total destruction of our economic system. And as I quoted Lenin before, there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch its currency, and not one person in a million will know what's taking place. Not one person in a million. And most people don't understand. Well, you're seeing the demise of our currency. You cannot have a stable society unless you have a stable currency.
Yeah.
And the reason oil is going up is because the dollar is falling, and nobody wants to tell us that.
Exactly right.
Our guest has been William Grieg. Always a pleasure. I'll look forward to talking to you again there on Friday evening. God bless. Thanks so very much, William.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteef exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stanley. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Of course, this is the time I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we really are dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us. And if you're in a position to help, we hope you'll want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, certainly there is a very real problem as far as food is concerned. You may not want to recognize this. You may not want to make any preparations. But if you really care about your family, you're going to be laying in a supply of emergency foods, dried foods, freeze-dried foods, whatever you'd like. But we, of course, represent ready reserve foods. And, of course, the system that they have is actually dehydrated food. They do an excellent job. And if you'd like to get more information, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for an emergency food catalog. But if you have a catalog, and we know that so many of you do, don't put it off. Get it now. The prices are going up. They're going up already very, very rapidly. We're embarrassed, but we have no control over this. It is being set by the market, and believe me, shortages are developing not only in this country, throughout the world. And obviously, something big is in the offing, and believe, if you do not have the ability to look after yourself and your family, you're going to be totally at the mercy of the people who control the government. So lay in your supplies now. You need, of course, a Berkey water filter of some sort. You need to have barrels to store water in temporarily. You need pumps to get it out. You need all sorts of things, and we're going to be laying in those emergency radios, things of that sort. Because I feel so strongly about what's going on, I want to make sure that as many of you as possible will have access at least to know where to get the material that you need to look after yourself and your family in the dangerous times that lie ahead. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free emergency food catalog, if you'd like a health products catalog. We do carry a lot of health products, which we think are vitally important, just to have a good supply on hand. But let me tell you one thing. We carry something called Alibiotic, and it's made up of certainly of garlic and oil of oregano and elderberry juice and a couple of other things that really seems to boost the immune system. I know that I take it whenever I'm going to be around a large crowd or flying or anything like that, or everybody's coming down with the flu. That and high-dose vitamin D are really, at least with me and my family, has kept us from getting ill, where everybody around us is having real health problems. So that's called Alibiotic. It's one of the many things we carry that they're put and produced by probably the single largest producer of health foods in the country, but we can't tell you the name because we can't go out under their label. We have to go out under the RL. That's Radio Liberty label. But the products are good. We certainly wouldn't be carrying them. If you'd like more knowledge, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do carry a Sanjian of shortwave radio, which top of the line, if you'd like to get that. We think it's an excellent product to have if you don't have shortwave. And we do have shortwave programs several hours a day, although we seem to be having some problem here on the West Coast. For the first hour of the program, we know it's coming in very well on the East Coast. And don't expect me to explain shortwave. Sometimes it comes in, and sometimes it just doesn't, depending upon the time of year. So anyway, if you're interested in Sanjian Radio, we do have the Robinson Homeschool Program. We carry the Miracle 2 Soap products. We've got all sorts of things. And the reason we have them is basically to finance Radio Liberty so we can keep coming to you 9 hours a day. You can actually get our programs 9 hours a day at RadioLiberty.com. Now, only 4 hours there is live, and then we do another program from 7 to 8 every morning on the American Christian Network. We hope that you'll understand we're involved in a spiritual battle and they're powerful.